Playing the New Zealand rock band The Found on Take It From Us as our theme tune for our mental health radio program. They're a trio of Kiwi musicians, two of whom are mental health consumers. Let's listen to some more of their track, Long Gone. Good afternoon, and today on Take It From Us, we interview chiropractor Dr. Neil Bossinger. Okay, well, you may well ask, what has a chiropractor got to do with mental health and well-being? What has the spine got to do with sorting out mental and emotional issues? Neil Bossinger runs SpineWave, his own chiropractic practice, and his vision for chiropractic is reshaping your health. Let's just get that again, reshaping your health. He takes a holistic view to all his patients and passionately understands he is dealing with the nervous system rather than just spines and physical pain and discomfort. Neil and I met through my voluntary mentoring of small businesses through the Business Mentors New Zealand organisation. Neil requested help with branding and marketing his SpineWave business. So let's hear what a chiropractor has got to do with mental health. Welcome, Neil, to Take It From Us.
Thank you, Sheldon.
So firstly, tell us briefly how you got into chiropractic.
It's quite a tough question because that period was a bit of a blur for me. This was about 7 or 8 years ago. And 10 years ago, I thought I was destined to be a chemical engineer in some backwater town in Africa. And that didn't appeal to me too much. So I dropped everything I was doing, moved countries, changed friends, changed families, and landed up in New Zealand. And at the time, I was sign writing. And, you know, to make a buck, when you first move to a country, you got to do something. And was doing my thing, driving around, because whatever's in your mind at that time is in your consciousness. So I'm looking at signs a lot and noticed a dilapidated sign which actually belonged to a chiropractor. And the chiropractor that I ended up seeing every week for about 5 years. And why that caught my attention was not only because of the sign, but my sister, who was staying with me at the time, mentioned that she didn't like my posture too much, and I didn't think too much of that at the time. But the word posture, chiropractic, the word chiropractic stuck in my brain, and that's what drew me to the sign. So I decided to pull over and walk in. I had no idea why I was doing it. I had no idea what the point was. But I walked up to their front door on their day off. No one was there, but I rapped on the door anyway. And my chiropractor's husband, who's also a chiropractor, opened the door and looked at me kind of oddly, wondering what I was doing there without phoning, without making an appointment, just turning up on his front door, which wasn't even his practice, and because their practice was next door. And I wanted to know what they had to offer me. And he was perplexed because usually people call up with some sort of problem and it's pretty a standard investigation of their problem and working out a plan to help you. But I didn't have a problem. I just wanted to know more and I wanted to be better. And he said, okay, have a seat. And we spoke for a while. And one thing led to the next, and I had a series of exams with his wife. They made a subsequent appointment for me. And the real shift for me happened when they invited me to their presentation, similar to the one you came to the other night at the practice, and which is why I still do these presentations, because this is where the most profound change happened for me, what the whole point was about chiropractic. And it was one of those moments where everything just makes sense, and everything... Every endeavor I was making before that didn't make sense, and there was a huge amount of frustration that that came with that, because I was pushing in this direction which was obviously not congruent with where I was going and what I needed to do with my life. And in that one moment, which sometimes is just a sentence or just an idea, it all shifted for me. And they were talking about these ideas that your body knows exactly what to do. And you have all the tools and all the faculties necessary to live the life that you want and everything that you desire. And it made perfect sense that you're born with everything you need to be successful. And it was amazing. They were talking about ideas. It was kind of old school, so they were using the whiteboard with pen. You know, today we got PowerPoint. And he drew an ovum and a sperm cell. What this had to do with chiropractic, I have no idea. But he drew these two things on the board, and he said, how do these two things come together and make a child that grows into a being that exists in the world today? What is controlling all of that? How does that all of that happen? Similar questions might be, how does a flower's roots know how to go down, and how does the stem know how to go up? Like really simple questions that we don't really think about too much. We just take for granted. But there's this... there's this idea that everything is organized and everything works perfectly and everything is the way it needs to be. It just doesn't need anything messing it up.
But it takes, sometimes it takes a lot of soul searching to decide how to get into the career that maybe we eventually spend most of our life doing, but it sounds as though you almost had a calling to it.
Everything shifted instantaneously for me. You know, for a guy who sometimes takes 15 minutes to choose a pair of pants in the morning, this was an instantaneous decision that, and I had no idea how long the course was, which is over 5 years. I had no idea how much it would cost, which is a lot. I had no idea what it would take in terms of effort and energy and commitment, which was massive. But I just did it. I just decided that's what I need to do and that's what I'm going to do.
And has the decision been fulfilling?
It's been the most profound experience, life-changing experience, and I'm so grateful that I found those chiropractors, because there's lots of different kinds of chiropractors, and they were the ones that that turned me on in the right way, because they touched on ideas which hold true to the principles of the old days.
So that's really where the start of this concept and vision of reshaping your health came from.
Yeah, that's those things that change for me, little bit by little bit. I hope to give to people that come and see me, my clients, and give them little tidbits and ideas, and give them hints, because obviously people need to make their own changes and do what they need to do for themselves. But sometimes it's just an idea, and hopefully what I've learned will, over the years, will help other people too. Mm.
Well, we'll get on to that issue of sort of being responsible for our own health reshaping later in the interview, but give us a bit of an idea of what the traditional perception of chiropractic is.
That's kind of an easy one, because when I first took over this practice in Remuera 2 years ago, I did a series of interviews around the area, probably around 300 or 400, and every single person, bar maybe one or two, said that chiropractic was about joints, chiropractic was about back pain, chiropractic was about neck pain, headaches, you know, fixing the typical municipal worker with low back pain. And that's the standard answer I got, which was very disheartening, but a truth, because that's what people perceive. The other ideas that I heard were that chiropractic is dangerous. Chiropractic is only a 12-month diploma in manipulation, which is completely untrue. And it even came down to the point where sometimes I'd throw in a curveball and say, okay, so why do you think children see chiropractors? And the mothers would give me this quizzical look. And the one lady said to me, because their parents are nuts. Another woman actually physically shielded her child from me, standing at the front door. I was just asking questions, and she actually moved in front of her child, like suddenly this profession had morphed me into some kind of demon that was going to take her child. But it's really not like that at all.
So how did you feel after doing that sort of survey? Did you what did you come away with from those interviews?
Despite despondency, that there's massive amounts of work to do.
You mean in changing people's perceptions?
In changing people's perceptions, in providing people the opportunity to experience something life-changing, because it's those perceptions that are actually holding people at bay from something that can profoundly influence their life. Because there was a survey that came out that saying that's the perception of chiropractic out there, but people that actually come into chiropractic offices, 80 or 90% of them are exceptionally pleased with the service, and they get the results and they're happy. But it's the challenge is overcoming all those misperceptions, barriers, to enable people to enjoy the experience and come in and live it for a little bit.
Well, I guess we have that same challenge in mental health, don't we, where, you know, people with mental illnesses are regarded as being criminals or completely untrustworthy or unstable or whatever. So there are all those sort of myths and misinformations around professions like mental illness or mental health and chiropractic as well.
Well, it's that that saying that says, you know, someone has a good experience, they go tell a handful of people, they have a bad experience, then they go tell 20 or 30. And maybe some people had a few bad experiences, or because people generally operate based on what they can only see with their eyes. So they see someone working on someone's back with their spine, and therefore put two and two together and say, oh, well, they just crack backs, which is another misperception, or chiropractic is just about fixing someone's back to deal with a back pain, and that's a myth too. And so every professional in a profession is different. You know, if you go to a dentist and have a bad experience with a dentist, doesn't mean all dentists are bad. You know, likewise with an engineer or anything, anyone. Mm.
So cracking backs, I guess, is really the sort of traditional chiropractic service. I mean, that's simplifying it a little bit.
I guess that's the view that most of the public has.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, what is your vision then for SpineWave to clearly take the business away from the concept of cracking backs?
To enlighten people a little bit about how they came to be in the position that they're in, how they actually work, what the role of their spine and nerve system is in their health, and taking simple steps to change the way they're working, change the way they got to be in that state, and start making better choices and working better in their future life.
So I think at your presentation that you did, which you invited me to come along to last week, I think you stated there that people are actually getting sicker, and I believe that that's what you seem to be experiencing with a number of your patients.
Yeah, I was having a chat to a GP the other day who was saying that, in her opinion, the drug problem has actually got worse, not better, and patients are actually asking for the drugs now. So whether that's a product of great marketing on the pharmaceutical point of view, or whether Western side is becoming more medicalized, which is a term, medicalization, meaning these terms and diagnoses and ideas are floating around out there freely, and people are grabbing onto them saying, oh, I've got this, oh, I've got that. You know, turning on your TV and being exposed to countless advertisements about this condition, this drug, the next drug, and going, oh, that can solve my problem. That's pretty easy. That doesn't require massive amounts of commitment, energy, time, money to sorting my life out naturally the way my body was designed to.
So do you think that's the way that we're sort of heading, really, that we're so persuaded that some pill that we can pop can sort out the things that really are much more deeper and requiring the sort of service that you provide?
That's the way it seems. People are becoming more enlightened that that's not the way to go. But
and that is the pharmaceutical route.
Generally. But people know that pursuing things naturally, simple things like exercising, eating right, maintaining a good headspace, having a positive outlook, all those things require work, a lot of work, more work and commitment than people maybe have time for or are intent on injecting into their lives. And the problem is when you're suppressing issues that you're facing in your life, whether they're health challenges, physical challenges, emotional challenges, and you're suppressing them just to go forward and do what you need to do day by day, that energy gets buried in your body, buried in your spine and nervous system, locked in there for weeks, months, years. And then it comes to a point when there's actually problems, physical problems that need to be sorted out. And that's when it's so easy to turn to a solution which looks very enticing in terms of low level of commitment and energy. But the reality is that those problems have been ingrained for so long that they need massive amounts of work to be uningrained, if that's a word.
So it could be a painkiller, or it could be an anti-anxiety, or it could be an antidepressant.
Could be anything.
And all of those things, as I understand it anyway, just sort of shield the reality.
Possibly. Like the character Haywire in Prison Break, he refers to those sort of things as the little mental handcuffs. Now, it's not to say all medication is bad. I don't tell my clients that at all. It's about what is most appropriate. What is the most appropriate solution at that time? What is the most appropriate next step? Maybe medication is appropriate at that time. Maybe medication is not appropriate at that time. But that needs to be investigated with a team of different viewpoints, not just one particular opinion which says this is right, this is what we need to do. For example, a woman came into me a couple months ago with her major complaint being a bad taste in her mouth. How she landed up in a chiropractor's office, I don't know, but that's the kind of stuff I'm starting to attract these days. And she said, I've got a bad taste in my mouth, what can you do? So I did my checks and balances and spoke to her a little bit about it. The odd thing is that the day before, for that problem, she was prescribed antidepressants for a bad taste in her mouth, which didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And I'm not qualified to prescribe or unprescribe people, but it is my position as a frontline healthcare provider to provide information for people and say, hey, look, think about this. That may not be the most appropriate step. And she goes, oh, okay, so I suggested to her, go back and talk to your GP and see if that's what really needs to be done. Turns out she had a lot of emotional and mental issues going on at the same time, and her body was reacting in a way which is bringing about a bad taste in her mouth. So what people present with is not necessarily, there's not necessarily a direct cause for that. If we're just talking in the typical perception of chiropractic, if someone comes in with low back pain, for instance, and they go home every day, drink six beers, slap the wife, kick the cat, and hate their job, and that's manifesting in their body as physical pain, there's no amount of intervention that can be done, whether surgical, whether chiropractic, whether physio, whatever, that will alleviate that problem until that person addresses those incongruencies in his or her life to take care of those problems.
Well, let's take a music break and come back and talk about some of those physical pains that are probably produced by mental anguish and emotional anguish. And Neil, I think you've got the first track that you can introduce.
I've put a few songs together. Most of my clients know that I like to listen to heavy metal. But in my practice, that doesn't equate to appropriate healing environment. So I've just put something light and foot tapping on his Red Hot Chili Peppers with Scar Tissue.
Chilies with Scar Tissue, and our guest on Take It From Us today is Dr. Neil Bossinger, who has just described himself just before the music break there as a frontline health provider. And yeah, I really like that term, but officially Neil is a chiropractor. And I want to get on to Neil, the significance of the nervous system in chiropractic.
The nervous system is the most important system in the body. Human beings, apparently, top of the food chain, have the most profound impact on planet Earth and are supposedly the most evolved. And being the most evolved system in the body is the nervous system. And everything, all information, all senses, all sensations, everything you experience in reality is processed through your nervous system. All cell reactions in the body occur by coordination from the nervous system. All chemical balance in the body, everyone agrees that there's a bunch of chemicals in our body. The pharmaceutical industry definitely agrees that there's a bunch of chemicals in our body, and those need to be balanced. And the system controlling that, without question, is the nervous system. And all perceptions, because we were talking about perceptions just before, all perceptions of reality are processed through your nervous system. So it is the most important thing. And when that's out of whack, your body's going to be out of whack. Your life is going to be out of whack.
Well, it might sound like a very simplistic question here, but where do we find the nervous system?
The nervous system. Well, it's in your body. It starts in your head. Most people know that they've got a brain. I've got a model brain in my practice, and I've only ever had one person who didn't know what that was. So most people know that they've got a brain, and that brain extends down into your body through the base of your skull at the back, and that goes into what's called your brainstem, and then that goes into your spinal cord, which runs through your back, through all the little bumps, which are the bones, the vertebrae in your back, and that splits off into nerves at the top, which go to your arms, splits off into nerves in the middle of your body, which go to all your organs and your cells and your glands, and splits off into nerves at the bottom, which go to your legs, and everyone knows what that's for, right? So when we start experiencing stress, whether it be physical from bumps or falls, sitting in a chair all day, exercising too much, having a rough day physically, or whether we are under mental, emotional stress, stress at work, stress with family, arguments, thinking too much, or toxic stress, things we eat or drink which are not quite appropriate. All these different stresses affect that which is the only thing that processes all that information, that is our nervous system. And when our nervous system is out of whack, our body goes out of whack, because it's our body, it's our nervous system that holds the position of our body, and pressures from life affect our nervous system and start creating problems. So it's really important to keep that in balance, and that's principally what chiropractors do.
So the spine is the protection around the nervous system that runs. It's sort of like the cord that runs down from our brain down to the rest of us.
Exactly, and the body, in its infinite wisdom, protected that which is most important. Put a tough old skull around the brain, and put hard, movable bones around the spinal cord. Most people know about Christopher Reeve or Superman, and I get people to wave their fingers in the air and say, could Superman do this? No, he could not, because it's not that he injured his fingers or his hands. He fell off the horse and injured his spinal cord and lost all life processes from there down, except for breathing and a few other bodily functions. So it's really important. And why chiropractors focus on the spine is because the spine is it's the window to how the nervous system is operating, how we can affect function in the nervous system. For instance, you can cut your finger off and still keep on living. If you cut your spinal cord off, it's game over. And what most people don't realize is that, and they don't think about their spine because it's behind them most of the time, but your spine is the center of your universe. And it's not just a set of bones and muscles. It's actually a very intense electrical circuit board. It's a very, very intense chemistry set. And because we're talking about mental health, when that chemistry set and that circuitry changes and imbalances occur, that affects the way your brain starts working. And because we perceive all life and all reality through our brain, that changes the way our brain works. It changes the way we perceive the world around us. And we start making inappropriate choices to those perceptions that have been changed.
I mean, in mental health, we hear a lot about a lack of certain chemicals like serotonin and dopamine, I think they are, and that if you've got a shortage of those, then you're likely to get depressed. And so the GPs want to top those up with antidepressants and that sort of thing. But, I mean, sounds to me like a bit of a horse and cart situation. I mean, are we born without these chemicals that may lead to mental unwellness, or do we do things that cause those chemicals not to be produced?
A lack of chemicals may or may not be true. only really 5% of the population are born with true genetic disorders. Most of us are born with that perfect wisdom that made us, that I was talking about at the beginning of the show, that knows exactly what to do all the time. And it's these different stresses which change our chemistry set and alters the way brain processes work and changes the way those processes coordinate the rest of the body and put out the right chemicals at the right time. And when those imbalances occur in the brain, the wrong signals are sent at the wrong time, and maybe the wrong chemicals are being put out in the least optimum amounts, and that gives us an experience, whether it be depression or feeling blue or whatever it may be, happiness. A simple example is you could go to a massage therapist and that could feel really, really good, and a surge of dopamine rushes through your entire body. Or typical example of falling in love, massive dopamine rush. Your brain is experiencing that reality at that time, and your chemistry is changing right there in front of you. Another sensation of being aware of your nervous system is butterflies in your tummy. That's your nervous system, because a big word is enteric. Your enteric nervous system in your stomach area is one of the biggest components of your nervous system. And often people talk about, Richard Branson talks about making gut decisions. Most of his billion-dollar decisions are made not just on number crunching, but how his gut is telling him. Mm-hmm. So your nervous system is everywhere, really. It's not just in your head. And chemical receptors are everywhere too. So when someone's taking a drug to supposedly affect, say, the serotonin receptors in their brain to make them feel more balanced, there's actually serotonin receptors in your gut too. So that's when people may start experiencing frequent bowel motions or constipation or diarrhea, because that drug is affecting their entire system. And that's what every drug does. It affects your entire system because those receptors are everywhere.
So how do we look after our nervous system?
It's not as complicated as you may think. When last did you go to your GP and your GP said, are you resting? Are you exercising? Are you eating well? Are you looking after your headspace, creating some time for yourself? If anyone's defrag their computer. I use the term defragging, where you just take a moment to sort things out, put things back in place where they should be in your head, taking a moment to yourself, having a positive outlook. Optimism is a big key.
I mean, I was actually a guest on Mike King's Nutters Club a couple of weeks ago, and we had a psychiatrist on there, and I just passed the opinion that, you know, for every hour of stress, we need a complementary hour of relaxation and balance. And Mike King picked up on this and said, well, you know, we just don't have time for that. You know, we don't have time to have that sort of complementary hour. And I guess, yeah, I thought, well, that is a luxury. Yeah. But it's really necessary to remain healthy to do that, is it?
Which is why chiropractic has the potential to have such a profound influence on people's health, because it doesn't require massive amounts of time. The last component of looking after your nervous system, which no one really looks at, is your neurological health. Because
is that brain health?
Brain health and the rest of your nervous system throughout your body, which is coordinated through your spine. When people are experiencing all these stresses, it's your nervous system that takes that stress on and actually starts winding the system down through stress. And it gets to a point where the last straw on the camel's back, whatever that may be in your life, throws that nervous system out of whack and creates problems. And then people take a little break, or they do something to make them feel better, and their nervous system shifts maybe 5% to be better again. But then it takes that straw again, the problem, to shift them back into the negative. And so the idea of chiropractic is to create a much, much bigger buffer for people's nervous systems to work properly. And by seeing a chiropractor and getting your spine and nervous system checked to be stronger, to be healthier, to have a stronger immune system, to have more energy, to think more clearly, to see better, to have better gut function, to just go around life enjoying it more, perceiving things differently. It doesn't take long at all. It just requires a little tune-up, which may take anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes. And that's not difficult at all, and profoundly changes people's lives.
But for a tune-up of 5 to 15 minutes, that's how many times?
It depends on the person's problem. Like we were saying before, when people suppress their problems over years and years and years, and there's all that unwinding and unconditioning to do, all that work to do in the nervous system, sometimes that requires a big commitment in the beginning to get the work underway, to overcome the inertia, to get better and get the system rolling. So once your vehicle, if I can describe it that way, is working well, is all tickety-boo, then it doesn't require a lot of effort to maintain that. For instance, if you drive your car into the ground and never get it serviced, and suddenly all these things break and you need a new clutch plate and you need a new this, you need a new that, that's a very expensive endeavor. So what was the secret to not getting to that place in the first place?
Regular tune-ups.
It was regular tune-ups, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking, you know, that it's like putting diesel into a petrol-driven motor, that that's going to stop it pretty fast. And I guess if we continue to put toxins and things that aren't helpful in our diet and nutrition into our health, then eventually it's going to break down.
Yeah. Toxins, negative thinking, whatever diesel you want to describe in your life, whether it's, you know, you're not in the right job, you're not with the right person, you're not something, there's some diesel in your life that you're putting into your vehicle and you don't even know it, which is why sometimes the biggest changes, it's not about the doing, being in a chiropractor's office, but being in an office where someone understands this stuff and can give you a simple idea, not just lie down, see you next week, but actually, hey, have you looked at this? Have you tried that? Mm. Give you a simple idea, and you can go home, try it, and your entire life changes. And you no longer put diesel into your car, and things are better.
Yeah, well, let's take another break and take it from us. And Neil is going to introduce the second track of music. What have you got for us, Neil?
This was one of my favorite albums, When Live Was Still Good, back in 94. And the song is called Top.
we're talking to frontline health provider Dr. Neil Bossinger on Take It From Us today. He is a chiropractor, and we were just talking about those things that aren't necessarily good for us. We sort of drew the analogy between putting diesel into a petrol car, and I guess smoking is something that also is probably definitely not good for us. And let's just to play the little CD of from the Face the Facts campaign that is currently on throughout New Zealand.
Did you know that every year 5,000 New Zealanders die from smoking? 5,000. That's equivalent to a whole town. Smoking. Face the Facts.
Well, Neil, we've been skirting around the issue of mental health and you as a frontline professional, but how would you describe the link between mental and physical health?
The link is the nervous system. And I was doing a bit of light reading on the weekend, 17th century philosophy, with and trying to figure out where it all went left, where it all went wrong. And the founding father of modern philosophy, as they call him, was French philosopher René Descartes. And his view on the world, which is become an integral part of how we actually think these days, is that the mind and body are separate. They're two separate things. And it's... you know, there was a rumor that he wanted to do some work on cadavers, and the church at that time said, "That's fine, you do the work on the cadavers, but the soul belongs to the church." And so essentially, they took the soul out of the human being, and his thoughts were that the mind and the body are two separate things, and this spiraled into this idea of dualism, which is that they're not connected and they need to be treated separately, which they can't. They're intricately linked, and your body is an extension of your mind, and vice versa. It was ironically, this was the guy who said, "I think, therefore I am." So I've got no idea. I think he was just pretty confused back then. He understood that all things in nature were indivisible. They were all part of each other. But at the same time, he had this idea that your thoughts were separate from your body. But they're really not. Your thoughts and that which stems from your nervous system is what leads your body. It's like the carrot on a stick in front of you. And your thoughts are what give your nervous system and hence the rest of your body and all your cells the direction in which it needs to grow and thrive. So there's this idea that stinking thinking leads you down one direction, and positive affirmations and optimism lead you in another direction. And we're starting to understand in science why that's true, is because all the cells in our bodies actually operate energetically. The idea which stemmed back from 17th century Descartes was that we're just a machine, that our heart is just a pump, that blood is just liquid flowing through pipes, and how modern medicine views that is that chemicals put into your body are mechanical switches that go to cells and turn things on or off, or like you were saying before, give us a little top-up or a top-down or whatever it's needed. It's completely mechanical in nature, which is not actually how we work. We're actually very, very complex beings, complex creatures. And so the fundamental role of the nervous system linking mental and physical health is that when you have these thoughts, your cells operate vibrationally. They have these, what we understand now, little antenna on the outside of their cells that actually jiggle and shake when certain vibrations are sent their way, possibly from your thoughts, and open those gates and turn things on and allow things in and out, rather than just mechanical stimuli such as medications which move around the body and turn things mechanically on and off. Your mental health has a profound impact on the state of your being.
Well, I'm reading a book at the moment, actually. You mentioned the word vibrations, and this book really concludes that we can give off vibrations which will either appeal to people and attract people, or will repel people. And we can also get vibrations from the outside world that are either positive or negative that will benefit us and make us feel better. So it's a pretty complex picture. But you mentioned the simple term mind and body. I mean, I imagine that there's a pretty good appreciation now that mind and body are very closely interlinked.
Yeah, and it's what to do with that information. How are we going to now impact the mind-body, the body and the mind? How are we actually appropriately going to look after people? It's all about what is the most appropriate step, what is the most appropriate solution. And why chiropractic naturally has such a profound impact is because sometimes people have got into certain states, their system has wound down in poor function to a state where they can't actually think their way out of it. They, you know, with positive thought, which is just a sugarcoating, they can't exercise their way out of it. They can't sleep their way out of it. And it requires a specific, if it's nervous system problem, a specific neurological intervention, which is what chiropractic is. And why it's quite a simple solution sometimes is because those problems which were ingrained in the system in the subconscious over a long period of time can be accessed through the body, which is pretty much the memory of that nervous system from you know, ghosts long past. And you can access the subconscious and make changes without the person having to think too much when they don't actually have the faculties to do that. And you can start making profound changes in their particular circuit boards, their particular chemistry makeup. You can actually make those changes in their body. And why, when you're talking about vibrations and how different things affect different people, we're all wired completely differently. The nature-nurture thing, there's maybe 20% nature, 80% nurture, and all these different things that affect our bodies over a long period of time change the way we're wired. And so when people say, when they have a bad experience, say, at a chiropractor, it's not that chiropractor didn't work. It's maybe that that chiropractor was not the right person for them, because you can walk into a room and have a really good vibe or a really bad vibe. You can have someone touch your shoulder gently and just melt, or that person can touch your shoulder and you just start shivering and think, oh, my God, I need to get out of here. So it's about finding the right person and the most appropriate step, not just knocking on the first door you find and going, oh, that didn't work for me, whether whatever profession that is. It's about finding what I like to enlighten my clients about is actually how they work. Understand how they work first, what the problem is, what they can do about it, what the different options are, and empower people to go, oh, okay, that makes sense. This is why I'm here, or this is what I need to do. And when they understand, they can take those tools themselves and make the profound changes that they need to make themselves without someone having to continually encourage them or chase them or make the changes themselves, because we can't control people. No one can control anyone. We can barely control ourselves.
I think you mentioned in the break, however, that you know, the mental health issues that you are confronting are becoming increasingly challenging. That's something that is increasing for you in the practice?
It's what I'm seeing in my practice. I don't know what it is or if it's what I'm putting out there, but more and more people, because of the lifestyles we're living, we're driving in the fast lane, we're living incredibly stressful lives, we're taking shortcuts or stopgaps with medication to treat those problems largely, and over time, these people are finding the same people that go to a GP with the same problems are presenting to me for what we'd call non-musculoskeletal, not related to spine, joints, aches or pains. They're presenting with these particular problems. Hey,
not related to pain, though? They're not there because they're suffering pain?
There's a variety of different clients that everyone has their own particular problem, but more so now people are presenting to my office with non-musculoskeletal problems. Hey, I'm sad. Hey, my gut doesn't work properly. Hey, I can't see as well as I used to. I'm not thinking clearly. Stuff that they didn't, the course, the chiropractic course is very intense and very well put together, but it didn't give me the training to face the problems that I'm facing now because the world has changed, and it's becoming quite challenging to figure out what's going on with these people and how we can actually help them without drugs.
Well, we thought we might have actually had a caller there. Fred was our producer, was just appeared to be answering a call there, and I just wondered if we had prompted somebody to call in. Let's take another music break, and Neil, you've got another surprise track for us.
This is one of my favourite bands growing up, Springbok Newgirls, and this is called Genie.
We're just going to cut into that track from the Springbok Newgirls. That's a choice of Neil's, our guest. I want to promote the fact that we have a mental health awareness conference running on the 5th of August. That's coming up in about 2 or 3 weeks' time. It is at the Function Hall, Building 730, at the School of Population Health at the Tamaki campus of the University of Auckland. This is sort of a build-up to Mental Health Awareness Week with the theme of Winning Ways to Wellbeing. So the conference is a well-being conference, and it will cover off a number of very important issues around well-being, and we have been talking about well-being today. So that is the Mental Health Awareness Conference on the 5th of August. Ring the Mental Health Foundation. Dale Little will help you with any details there, but it is at the Tamaki campus of the University of Auckland, that's in Glen Innes, between 9 and 4 on the 5th of August. Tonight, I think the documentary channel on Sky is running a documentary on schizophrenia, although I did check in the Sky book last night and it says that it's covering off the Tourette's syndrome, and I don't know. Neil, do you know whether there's a link between Tourette's and schizophrenia?
Maybe.
Maybe. You're sitting on the fence on that one. That's fair enough. Well, let's just finish our Take It From Us today with so what we've been talking about, Neil, this is the way that we need to move and have to move in health and mental health today?
Something needs to change. I've been promoting a talk called Sustainable Healthcare, enlightening people about the costs that healthcare has, or is the costs that are mounting today. As a nation's wealth per capita increases by 10%, the cost of sickness or looking after sickness increases by more than 10%. So that's an unsustainable model. The World Health organization recently put out a huge paper that said that neurological disorders are actually have the biggest impact, bigger than respiratory disease, cancer, everything put together. Neurological disorders, which is amazing, because
give us an example of a neurological disorder.
In my understanding from what they're saying, things like what you're mentioning, schizophrenia, Tourette's, Alzheimer's, mental disorders, a breakdown anywhere in the nervous system, and we understand that when there's a breakdown in the nervous system, problems can arise throughout, which may include bodily pain, which may include changes in gut function or heart function. And that's costing across Europe about 139 billion euros every year. What we also understand is that 80% of healthcare costs are spent in the last 5 years of a person's life. Why? Because they drove their car in the fast lane for 75 years, and then from age 75 to 80, we have to spend most of the money there. And
we're an aging population.
Yeah, the baby boomers are on the increase. And there was another study put up by Southern Cross recently that showing that it's going to cost employers across the year over $2 billion in looking after their staff's health, because people are not operating at 100%. They're turning up to work basically useless, and it's costing employers a lot of money, about $2 billion per annum.
You mean in lost productivity?
Yeah, productivity.
Lost productivity, yeah. Well, that's Take It From Us today. We've been talking to frontline health provider Neil Bossinger. And Neil, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to mention your contact details, your www address at SpineWave.
Sure, SpineWave, spinewave.co.nz. If anyone's interested, there's lots of great stories on the website and our phone number if anyone wants to call in and have a chat.
And your phone number is
522-09-522-0025.
Just give us that again,
09-522-0025.
Well, Neil, it's been a real pleasure having an insight into chiropractic. I'm sure many of our listeners didn't appreciate perhaps the very close link between the nervous system, between our physical and mental health, the links all around, and I think we could have gone on for quite some time to get on to holistic health and other issues. But maybe that tells us that you need to come back again.
Thank you.
Your favorite shows again.